Hi, everybody. Welcome to our Saturday morning podcast. From time to time, we talk non-sports. We talk about movies and politics and all sorts of stuff. And I figured I'd go right into the belly of the beast with the city that hates me the most, Cleveland, with very popular Tony Grossi, Fox Sports Ohio, host of the 100 Years podcast. He's been a writer forever, moved into radio, and kind of the voice of sports talk in Cleveland. So earlier this week, he was at a Browns-Colts joint practices in Indiana. You have been to several joint practices so far. So let's start with this. I actually think they're a good team. They're young. I don't trust their offensive line, and I don't know how good Freddie Kitchens is. I think those are all realistic things to say. Is it fair to say the offensive line, to me, is the liability of the team? Is that the feeling you get?
I didn't have that feeling when training camp started, but it has kind of devolved into a concern, specifically at right guard. And I was of the opinion that whoever they put at right guard, the rest of the line would be able to absorb him and lift him up. I think there's a little more concern internally about that position than with me. But, the offensive line is going to be the foundation of whether this team is a high-scoring team or if it plods along like it usually has. But I think one thing they got going for him, Colin, is Baker Mayfield, I know it's early. He's only got 13 starts, but he has a knack for avoiding pressure,
yeah,
getting rid of the ball and making plays, and avoiding injury, too, so far.
Yeah. Baker is going to be very good for your business. He's talkative. He's public. OBJ is sort of an iconic player in the NFL. How has OBJ's Cleveland stay been? Is he available? Do you see him? Is he the guy that talks after practice? Give me the OBJ experience, Tony, so far for you.
Well, he's said and done all the right things. He's kept a low profile. He hasn't been on the practice field a lot. And right now he's nursing some kind of hip injury that the team is not, being very specific about. He is available to us on a local basis at selected practices, not every day. The way they operate right now in training camp, you're not allowed in the locker room. So it's requesting players or they present them in a group setting. And the couple times that he has been available to us, he's been good. He's been really good. He's got that disarming smile, and he seems to be very happy with his situation.
In your lifetime, covering this team mostly, I'm old enough to remember the Brian Sipe years, Bernie Kosar, obviously, and then it's been largely chaotic for two decades. So that's the reality you've lived in. Now, this year, they come off a 7-8-1 season. There's a lot of hype. There are people like me that are saying, it's young, I don't know Freddie Kitchens. I'm viewed as kind of a hater, despite saying they're 9-7. When you take calls on your show, Tony, it's very easy to go to Twitter where everybody says Super Bowl or bust. But what is the average Cleveland fan going into this season? If I had to say, sum up their feelings on the record and perceptions, what would it be?
Oh, I think people in town are buying the hype. The ones who aren't buying it are just afraid something's going to happen. Nobody questions that this team has turned a corner and has good years ahead. And I think the fans in Cleveland have been anticipating this season. Really, March 12th, I think, is the date they traded for OBJ. But really, when the season ended December 31st with a loss in Baltimore, people were excited about what's to come. So then there's the segment that's, oh, no, we're in Cleveland. Something is going to screw this up. But realistically, not many people, think this is going to be a middle-of-the-road team in Cleveland.
Generally, Tony Grossi joining us, I've always had a theory that you have to be an A-, B-plus at worst in owner, GM, coach, and quarterback. If you can be B-plus to A, you are a Super Bowl contender. I don't know much other than what I've read about Jim Haslam. He's the Tennessee Volunteers' primary booster. That program has underachieved for two decades. lot of movement, GM, coach, quarterback in Cleveland, and he owns the Browns. What kind of owner is he? What kind of guy do we know Jim Haslam is?
Yeah, well, hopefully he's one who learns from his mistakes, because by his own admission, there's been a lot of mistakes in his, 7 years as owner?
Yep.
And I think the one thing that's encouraging this year is that now that he found John Dorsey, put him in charge of football, put him above the head coach, having the head coach report to Dorsey rather than having the head coach report to the owner, I think was a major step. And the Haslams, Jimmy, has backed off. It was very instructive that on the introductory press conference at Freddie Kitchens that Haslam did not speak. He was there sitting in the front row with his family, but he did not go up to the podium. It was Dorsey's show. And I think that was symbolic of what it is right now. And I feel if it stays that way, you know, they have a great chance to succeed.
Tony Grossi joining us, Fox Sports Ohio. Andy Reid and John Dorsey, and Andy's about as good a guy in the league as you're going to meet. He and John didn't know a eye to eye. John's very strong-willed, you know, and Andy's a very successful guy. Is there a concern that instead of hiring a Greg Williams or a veteran coach, that Freddie Kitchens was hired because he will be amenable to John Dorsey's opinions? Is that a legitimate concern?
Well, I would phrase it a little different. That you know, when Haslam made the organizational change in his chart, his organization chart, that the head coach reports to the GM. You know, there are some head coach candidates that don't want that setup, but I think it was wise in this case because Freddie is an untested first time head coach, and I don't think it was done so that Dorsey can control him. Let's face it, somebody has to be in charge. And I trust Dorsey's experience over Freddie's experience, even though I think he's going to be good. I think it was a case of realigning a flaw in their organization. Now, Andy Reid is a very experienced coach who probably wanted to be more in charge. And so this is a better fit for Dorsey. And I think it was the right thing to do.
How do you see, top to bottom, the AFC North sort of turning out?
Yeah. Well, I believe in this team, Colin. I mean, I've been around for a long time, and I've seen a lot of bad teams, and I've seen a few good teams. And on paper, this is as good a roster as I've seen in Cleveland in 30-some years. So they have to do it. But I think it's time that they do it. And I think Baker primarily will be up to the challenge. There are two Cleveland versus Pittsburgh games in the middle of the season this year. Usually they schedule them 1-16. This Cleveland-Pittsburgh rivalry, it's been so one-sided. But in the span of 17 days, they play two times. It's a Thursday night primetime game in Cleveland, followed by a 4:15 Sunday afternoon in Pittsburgh. And I think that will determine the winner of the division. Now, if they've split those two games, I think the Browns will prevail. I think the only thing that will stop them will be losing both games to Pittsburgh.
Tony Grossi joining us. If I said to you, there's something that will happen in the first 4 to 5 weeks, and you, Tony Grossi, would be, that worries me. Will there be a sign early that these young players, these stars, Baker, Freddie, is there a warning sign for you? You're a reporter. You've got a keen eye for, as any reporter would do, try to be ahead of the story, not behind it. What will concern you in the first 4 to 5 weeks? A sign that maybe it's unraveling or not achieving peak performance?
Other than losing, you know, three of their first four games, I think the potential adversity early on is, believe it or not, the kicking situation. If one of these two struggling kickers starts the season and just blows a couple games and they're forced to bring in a kicker on the fly, I mean, we've seen in the past that can be very disruptive to even a good team.
Yeah, the Jets are going through the Jets are going through the same thing. Chargers have dealt with that for years. It can really derail you.
Right, and the Bears last year.
Yeah.
And they're still not out of it. So that has become a concern now. It's a sign of the progress of this organization that the kicking is, you know, is a concern. But really, I think that's a real concern. If these two, one of these two young guys doesn't instill some confidence, they're both shaky right now. There's time. But that can derail a good team. And the Browns' early season schedule is very difficult. So, and it's under the bright lights. You know, three of their first five games are primetime games. It's a lot of pressure on one of these young kickers. So if he doesn't come through and they're forced to bring in a retread, that could screw them up along the way.
You've been around the Browns and Colts joint practices. What do you think the word on Andrew Luck's mysterious calf ankle sprain? Even his father, Oliver Luck, I had him on the show the other day, did not want to discuss it. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I'm in Indiana, as you mentioned, and you can almost feel the worry, the collective worry of the Colts fans. And I've been here about 36 hours, and I've heard three different injuries already assigned to this thing. Either they're not being totally upfront, or they're not sure. It's a shame because that was one of the when they scheduled these joint practices. I said, boy, that's going to be great for the Browns defense, particularly their line and secondary, to go up against Andrew Luck. But he's been shut down, and this whole state is holding its breath that he'll be able to play once the season starts.
Freddie Kitchens, he's got that Southern charm. He's outspoken. He's got kind of a blue collar mentality that I like. What are you made of him so far? He any little mistakes, anything you like? What's your interpretation of what you've seen?
Well, Colin, he won me over on the first preseason game when he won the toss and took the ball instead of deferred. I'm a big advocate of taking the ball and going down the field, but it's just like every Browns coach follows the norm now and defers, and I don't understand why. But anyway, I see in Freddie, he only spent 1 year with Bill Parcells in Dallas, and actually it was Bill's last year with the Cowboys. But to me, he resembles Parcells' greatest attribute, I thought, which was to be able to connect with every player on his team, no matter their background, and especially with their quarterback. And I think Freddie has a communication skill on the same level as a player that earns him instant trust and respect. And to me, it's such a psychological game now to be a head coach. I think he's got that ingredient going for him. He's done everything right, I think, so far. But he hasn't had adversity. So, and he keeps saying, I want some adversity to test us, to get over it. And he may get it soon, but so far it's been smooth sailing for him.
How much will they play Baker, OBJ, in the preseason?
Well, OBJ hasn't played. He probably won't play this weekend because he's missed some major team practices. Jarvis Landry, the other one of that bunch, has played a little bit more. I think Baker and Landry will play in game two, and then hopefully a half in game three, and we'll see if Beckham is back on the field by then. But you know, he was an invisible man during OTA season. Okay, he showed up for three mini camp practices, the mandatory ones. I'm speaking of OBJ, and now he's here at training camp, but he's missed. I don't know. They've had 15 practices, and he's been in the team periods six of those 15 practices. So I don't know. Maybe magically they expect it all to happen when the lights go on, but. All of Cleveland sure wants to see him and Baker develop something.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When Landry and OBJ played at LSU their last 2 years, Landry had more catches. He's a real volume receiver. And I said it this week on the air, you know, OBJ's last 32 games, 16 he's missed. Most all-time greats, doesn't matter where you went to college, but it does matter that you're on the field. OBJ has had a history, Tony, of just some nagging stuff. I don't think, you know, and that's, Tony, you and I now, this NFL, there's less hitting and less practice than ever. It's got to be a little bit of a concern, the injury, right? I mean, it's part of his resume now.
No, I think so. I think it is a concern. And I think that's why they're probably exercising, you know, more caution than anything because of that history. Because it's not as if he's being treated. We see him on the practice field. He does individual work. And then it's not like he goes off on an exercise bike or something. He's got his helmet on and he's engaged, at least in the practice. Most guys who are injured and receiving some kind of therapy are not doing that. So he's right there. But that's why what you just said is why I think they're being overly cautious so that they don't have that interruption once the season starts.
Does OBJ, some young guys, they travel, they got friends, they got PR people. He is a superstar in American sports. Does he have the entourage, friends around him? Or is OBJ kind of chill, one of the dudes?
Well, so far around the Browns camp, he's been one of the dudes. And it was interesting, just before camp started, he hosted a youth football clinic, a one-day camp. And he was very engaged in that. And it was just really a few days before camp started for the Browns. He had a little bit of an entourage around him then, but they were, I think, with the company that organized the camp. But so far, again, he's been a model citizen off the field and in interviews. He just hasn't been a regular participant in team drills.
Yeah, I think he's a good kid. I think he can be a little dramatic, and I think he's got an injury concern, but I think he's overall a good kid. All right, Tony Grossi. Host of the 100 Years podcast, Fox Sports Ohio, kind enough to be joining us this week on the Herd Saturday Morning Podcast. And, Tony, have a great preseason. I hope to talk soon.
Thanks, Colin. Thanks for having me.